Father, we're so grateful for the fact that you gave up the best of the best. You gave up your only son. And we have the privilege of calling ourselves heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And we are so privileged. And the world's a mess. And it continues to be a mess. And it'll be a mess till you come back. So we even pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Because we look forward to the day when you take us home and we can escape what this world is headed for. So, Father, we thank you. Pray that the word today will resonate, will come at a time when we need it. We thank you that you've given us the written word that we can look on and guide us and keep us in the straight and narrow. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on forward, peep. These are the best seats. Thank you very much. We'll treat it more like a Bible study than as a preaching time. Oh, that's a lot better. Okay. So, Gaza. Do we all know where Gaza is? No, we don't. Some of you do, some of you don't. Anyways, it's in the news. It's been in the news almost nonstop. It has been very quiet this last week, and we don't know why. It's supposed to be a big peace plan coming. It's supposed to be some things happening that are good. And we hope that transpires. But I'm not sure it will. Anyways, Gaza. Welcome to Gaza. In the last month or so, maybe a bit long, there's been a lot of talk about Gaza, trying to settle it. There's people been taken hostage out on October 7th, and the Israeli Defense Forces have been going in, and they've been trying to rescue people, trying to clean up the mess and get rid of a terrorist group called Hamas, which is a Muslim terrorist group. Anyways, Donald Trump thinks that maybe that little piece of property known as Gaza could be the Riviera of the Middle East. And that's what it looks like today. It's been bombed and destroyed, and it's full of tunnels, and I call them rat holes, where people live, and they come out and they fire rockets. And they try to destroy Israel. They have one plan, and they want to destroy Israel. In fact, they want to wipe it off the face of the earth. So, Trump vows to take over Gaza and create the Riviera of the Middle East. That's what it is today. And it's in the news. I mean, if you missed it, it's too bad. But there it is. The Riviera of the Middle East. But that's not Trump's vision. That's Trump's vision. And that's Trump's vision. The Riviera of the Middle East. Do you think it's going to happen? How many think it's going to happen? Good. We hope it does. Gaza is, and I put the map up here. See that little strip right there, that little piece of strip? It's like from Brighton to Belleville, long. And up to north, just a bit north of 401. 2 million people live there. It's one of the most densely populated places on the planet. Gaza. Whoop, gotta go back. I'm glad this controller works. Whoop, still haven't got it right. Pointer. So that's it right there. That's Israel today. And you'll notice that there's another little dotted line around this area here. And that is called the West Bank. So Gaza and the West Bank, both those areas are under Palestinian control, but they're within the boundaries of Israel. They took that over. I've got to keep going here. So it's 41 kilometers long, 10 kilometers wide, about the quarter size of the city of London, surrounded on three sides by Israel, Egypt's on the south, Mediterranean on the west, and 2 million people. Israel and Judah. This was back in the time of the kings. So Israel was this part of, and Judah was down here. That was the empire of David created. And you'll remember that the Jordan River runs there. None of this is part of Israel today. None of it is. It's only this part here. And you'll notice that it still says Philistia, or the land of the Philistines. Well, the land of the Philistines is what we call Gaza today. The 12 tribes of Israel, so when Joshua came into the land of Israel, he defeated all these different peoples. And he ended up dividing up the land and dividing it up so that each tribe, the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Benjamin, so on, and Simeon, so on, they were all divided up. But today, in Gaza, we've had 2 years of war. Hamas has been in control of Gaza since 2007. It's been a disaster. It's absolutely a terrorist group. Hamas has continuously tried to destroy Israel. On October the 7th, they took 1,200 people and killed them. They butchered them. They beheaded children. They raped some of the women, and it was just nothing but torture. They took 251 hostages, okay? That's a big number. All civilians have been relocated in that area. 2 million people have had to relocate. 90% of the homes have been destroyed. Water and sewage infrastructure is destroyed. Virtually there's no escape because Egypt doesn't want them. They don't want these terrorists. That's the only way out into another Arab country. Israel isn't letting them in. And Israel also blockades the sea. So there's no escape. And there's been 65,000 Palestinians. They're not all Hamas, but 65,000 people have been killed. What in the world is going on? Is Gaza part of the inheritance, the land inheritance? What is the status of Gaza today? Where is all this going? And peace, we hope it is peace, but will there be peace? What is the real bone of contention? And what's the Gaza war really all about? So, what's the origins of this message today? Like, why am I even covering this? It's a highly controversial topic. Some people think it's just horrible what's going on today. Other people feel, well, 1,200 people were butchered, raped, you know, all this stuff went on, and Israel has every right to do this. So why would I talk about it? Well, the origins, I've been talking when I do get the chance to speak, and I'm able to speak. I've been in the book of Joshua, and I've given 7 messages out of the book of Joshua. In chapters 1 to 6, we had 7 messages. And chapter 7 is the defeat of AI. And that'd be the logical thing I would speak on next, AI. I'm not going to today. I probably won't. And then chapter 8 was the victory eventually over AI. That's a city, by the way. And then chapter 9 was the deceit of the Gibeonites. And the Gibeonites, that was a really interesting story, but again, I'm not going to speak about it today. Chapter 10 was a war and victory over all that southern region we call Judah. And chapter 11 is the war and victory in the northern region, which we call Israel back then. And chapter 13 was the Canaanite area was divided among the tribes, and then chapter 14 was Caleb's request. So why am I speaking on Gaza? Chapter 15 is, like I said, was the territorial assignments to Judah. And it says in verse 15 of in verse 5 of chapter 15 that the southwest corner of Judah's territory was where the Great Sea, which is the Mediterranean Sea, meets the Brook of Egypt. I'll go back to the other slide in a minute. And the northwest corner of Judah's territory was where the Great Sea of the Mediterranean Sea. Gaza is referred to three times in the book of Joshua. It was part of the assignment to the tribe of Judah. It was not listed as a territory conquered by Joshua. So he didn't conquer it, but it was still part of the assigned territory. However, in Judges 1, it is a territory that was conquered by Judah. So it was not only assigned, but it was an area that was conquered and controlled back then. So here we are. I mentioned those boundaries. This is the southwest corner of the tribe of Judah. And there's, by the way, that's Simeon. So that they get, it doesn't show it all right there, but they was all in here. And this is the river or the brook of Egypt goes out here. So it went from here all the way up. No question in my mind that the Bible says clearly that Gaza was part of the inheritance that was to go to Israel. This is this. So we have people there today that are squatting on land that belongs to Israel. That's maybe hard for some to take, but I believe that's what's going on. And that's the bone of one of the bones of contention. So Joshua 1, 10 and 41 talks about Gaza. You see it right there, even onto Gaza. Joshua 11, 21 to 23 talks about, and at the time came Joshua and cut off the Anakim. Who were they? They were the giants. So he went in and cleaned out all the giants that were in the land from the mountain. So it gives the details of how it is. But then it goes on and says, there were none of the Anakim left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath and Ashdod. So that is our present Gaza Strip. That's it. He didn't clean them out. Joshua didn't clean them. In fact, I think that's why Joshua is not listed in Hebrews 11. He didn't finish the job. That's my opinion. Maybe not anybody else's. But I think that's why he's not listed. Even though Rachel, the harlot, is listed because of her faith. That's the faith chapter. So Joshua took the whole land according to this and gave it as an inheritance to Israel, including Gaza. I don't think there's any question in my mind. Joshua 15, it talks about 15 and 47. This, and I'll just read the bottom part. This is part of the inherited land of the tribes of the sons of Judah. Okay? Again, the scripture is pretty clear and Joshua is clear. So I'm in Joshua. I'm still in Joshua. But we're going to now switch over and get back to some other stuff. There's 18 references to Gaza in Scripture. And I'm not going to bore you with this. You can look it up yourself. Or you can get, maybe they'll put this on the 18 references. But I am going to just go down through very quickly and mention the books. It's in, just listen to this. Zephaniah mentions Gaza. It's a negative context. Amos mentions Gaza. It's a negative. Jeremiah 47 mentions Gaza. It's, and I've just put the negative here. Judges. Then Samson went to Gaza and saw there a harlot. You know the story of Samson and Delilah. It's a negative. Shouldn't have done that. But he did. 2 Kings, Gaza, negative. Joshua again, it's a negative. Zephaniah, Gaza, it's a negative. Jeremiah, Gaza's mentioned again. It's a negative. On we go, all the way down, but there is a couple. Let's see if I can get to this next one. Here we are. There's the only, one and only New Testament reference to Gaza. Isn't that amazing? And that's when Philip went down and he met with the eunuch on the road to Gaza. So it was a New Testament reference to it as well. Genesis, Samuel, in some cases, all they're doing is mentioning the territories. This case here, it's the positives. This is where the Philistines had to return some things back to Israel because God was judging them so severely. They finally said, we give up. We're going to bring stuff back and give it. This was some of the sacred material. So, but for the most part, of the 18 references, only about two or three positive. Everything else is negative about Gaza. It is almost like it's cursed. And I think as long as there's squatters on the land, the curse will be persist. You're getting some of my own opinion and mixed in some of this, okay? A few more references. That's the end of that for you. Okay, was Gaza part of the inheritance? Yes, yes, yes. And there'll be no peace until Israel is in full control. So even though Trump's going to try and do a deal, unless Israel is in full control and Hamas is gone, there will be no peace. You know they send these radicals in from all these Arab countries around it. They send them in to create war, to try and, it's awful. Now we're gonna really switch gears for a minute. And we're gonna talk about a couple of things that lead us to say what's really behind all this. King Solomon's temple was the first temple that was built. You find that in 1 Kings 8:63, and its location was on the Temple Mount. And it's in Jerusalem, of course. Just as a reminder, where is Jerusalem? What part of Israel is it in? The West Bank. All but part of it. There's an eastern part and a western part. Half of it is controlled by Muslims. And that's what the Temple Mount is. So Israel has no control over the Temple Mount, really. So the purpose of the Temple Mount, the first temple, okay, back in Solomon's time, the purpose was for the worship of Jehovah and was built 3,000 years ago. And even today, they still celebrate the temple, and it's called this festival of the tabernacles, and it's called Sukkot. But in 2023, Jewish people were globally celebrating Sukkot, or Feast of the Tabernacles, on October 7th, 2023. Okay? October 7th, 2023, they were celebrating Sukkot. On October 7th, 2023, Hamas launched Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. And it was an invasion and massacre that killed all these people. Isn't that amazing they would launch it on the same day as they were celebrating the temple? On September 15th, 2022, five flawless red heifers. For farmers here, we're talking about cows. Five flawless red heifers arrived in Israel from Texas. What's that got to do with anything? In the spring of 2023, Jewish people were trying to observe a Jewish holiday on the Temple Mount. By the way, that was forbidden. The Palestinian people, no Jews on the Temple Mount because it's our mosque territory. A clash occurred between the Palestinians and the Israeli police, and it lasted for 2 days. Rockets from Gaza fired in, and also from Lebanon, from Hezbollah. By the way, wasn't it absolutely remarkable that the Israeli defense people not only cleaned out Hamas pretty well, not finished, but they absolutely took care of Hezbollah, which was a much bigger problem. And you know how one of the ways they did it? Tell me, how did they do it? They what? Their cell phones. All the leaders' cell phones exploded and they killed them. Isn't that incredible? How did they ever do that? Do you ever think your cell phone should explode and kill you? The Israeli defense figured it out and targeted these people, and it wiped that out and it stopped it immediately. Sorry, that was a sidebar. Isn't this unbelievable? So here we are, rockets from Gaza, rockets from Lebanon, and then the leader of Hamas, and also his military wing, he said on October the 7th was the answer to what had happened on the Temple Mount in the spring of 2023. So the reason they went in and they went across the border from Gaza into Israel and killed all these people and took all these hostages has something to do with the Temple Mount. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What's this going on? And the bringing of the red cows. Back to the red cows. I had no idea when I opened up, when I started into this, that I'd be into some of this. But the red cows presented a threat to the Islamic mosque on the Temple Mount. And 20 years earlier, listen to this, 20 years earlier, Osama bin Laden's excuse for blowing up the World Trade Center in New York City, 9/11, was the threat to the mosque on the Temple Mount. Okay. Is it time for a third temple? Serious violence broke out on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem during Passover in 2022, coinciding with Easter and Ramadan, by the way, followed by an exchange of rockets, which I already covered. The Jerusalem Post published an article with the headlines, "When Blood Spills on Passover and Easter, Is It Time to Build the Temple?" Is it true? Is it time? Has the time come to build the third temple? And what would the consequences be? Let's go back. There was a second temple. So the first temple was Solomon's temple 3,000 years ago. The first temple was destroyed by the Babylonians. The Jews were taken exile. The second temple was built in 521 BC. And Wayne, you'll correct me if I got some facts wrong. That's about, I think about right. And on the same site as the first temple. First temple and second temple. But when the Babylonians destroyed it, it was absolutely flattened. And the book of Ezra gives the reconstruction account. The second temple stood longer than the first. And the second temple was destroyed by Rome in 70 AD after the death of Christ. And it was, Jesus predicted it would be. Haggai addresses Jewish leaders who were disappointed in the second temple. The second temple was kind of a, wasn't like the first temple. The first temple was unbelievable. The second was just kind of so-so. They're all disappointed. But Ezra, the book of Ezra in chapter 40 provides a prophetic vision of the third temple. That's sort of what it's supposed to look like. And all up and down here, it talks about this. So this is a prophetic. This was because the second temple didn't look like this. No, it was nothing like this. This is going to be something else. Is there going to be a third temple? Its location would have to be the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The Temple Mount is a highly sacred, contested site. Today, Muslims control the Temple Mount. Jews are forbidden to worship on the Mount, even pray on the Mount. That makes them furious. Today, Jews pray three times a day to see the temple rebuilt. There's an organization called the Temple Institute, and it's working on the blueprints. It's creating materials for the temple worship, like the chalices, the organs, you know, all the stuff that would be needed for temple worship. They're all the instruments. They're training new Levitical priesthood for temple worship. They're planting a biblical forest in and about Jerusalem for worship, some of it like hyssop and all the different things they need to bring to help with worship. They're reenacting ceremonies and training staff. Project to restore the red heifer. Red cows again. And imported 5 red Angus heifers from Texas. Flawless, perfect heifers. Jesus and the red heifer. What is the red heifer Gaza connection? Numbers 19 outlines the ordinance of the red heifer. By the way, has anybody ever heard anything about the red heifer? Anybody? A couple of you have. Okay. Rabbinical, and I put this in different print because it's not necessarily all biblical. The blueprint I'm here is rabbinical traditions rather than biblical. So the biblical tradition says 9 red heifers have been sacrificed since Moses' time. The last red heifer, the 10th, would be sacrificed by Messiah. That's tradition. That's not necessarily biblical. But that's what the Jewish people believe. No red heifers have been sacrificed since the destruction of the Second Temple. That's a lot of years. Almost 2,000 years. The red heifer ordinance would only happen if a third temple was built on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem and there were red heifers born in Israel and available. The ordinance, in the ordinance, and I'm not going to go into all the details. You can read it for yourself in Numbers 19. They needed the ashes of a sacrificed red heifer to be used for purification rites. Specifically, the purification of Israelites from the uncleanness and corruption of death. The heifer must be red, it must be spotless, without blemish, never been used for work, and I should have added, it must also have been born in Israel. So why import 5 from Texas? Maybe I'll answer that question now. I think they needed the genetics, and they probably came pregnant, and they could bear. Anyways, just a thought. The heifer was to be sacrificed outside the camp, not in the temple, not on the Temple Mount, outside the camp, outside of Jerusalem, and the ashes were brought back into the temple. The high priest, listen to this, the high priest was to oversee the slaughter of the heifer. Again, details are in Numbers 19. Jesus was spotless and without blemish. Jesus was sacrificed outside of Jerusalem on Golgotha's hill. The high priest was the oversight leader that saw the entire slaughter of Jesus. The red heifer ashes were to be to cleanse people from the corruption of death, the sentence of death. Jesus saves us from the penalty and corruption of death. Jesus was a once and forever sacrifice to cleanse us of our uncleanness and sin. In sort of a number of conclusions here. Gaza is part of the inheritance of Israel. Gaza has a very negative history and a tragic distraction today. Don't be distracted by Gaza. The Temple Mount is ground zero prophetically. Keep, watch the news for the Temple Mount. Watch the news, what's happening in the West Bank. Keep your eyes on the ball. Follow any developments, the Temple Mount. Will there be a third temple? Ezekiel says there will be. Jesus in Matthew 24:15 indicates there will be. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 2:4 says there will be. The abomination of desolation, he'll come in. He has to go into the temple. That's what Jesus said. That's what Paul said. And the current Jewish efforts to build a temple are pretty strong indications, if not for sure, there'll be a temple built. What about the red heifer sacrifice? It's a serious bone of contention. So the Muslims know that that red heifer sacrifice is an indication the Jews are awful close to getting on the Temple Mount. Muslims know that the efforts, the red heifer rites, will lead to the loss of Temple Mount control. The Temple Mount is God's territory, and its present occupants are squatters. My opinion? I don't know if it's yours, but it's mine. As Christians, Jesus is once and for all sacrificed. No need for a red heifer. There's no need for a red heifer for us as Christians. Jews still believe there is, but we don't need to think we... But you know, it could be a good, interesting sign of the times we're in. They're trying to do this. Jesus won the war over sin and death. Believers' sins are gone as far as the east is from the west. And we are washed in the blood of Christ and heaven bound. Isn't it incredible? What an inheritance we have. All because of Jesus. Gaza. That little strip. And it can be such a distraction. They're going to work really hard and spend trillions of dollars to make it what? Riviera of the Middle East? They're not going to do it on God's territory. Even the Jews are not going to, unless they have full control, this is not going to happen. That's my prediction. What about the West Bank? I haven't got anything more to say about today about the West Bank. But what about the West Bank? 1 week ago, Vice President Vance said, no way will the West Bank be annexed by Israel. They're allowing the Palestinian Authority to control it, eh? I'm sorry, Vice President Vance and Donald Trump, much as I like them both, if the Lord's going to let it happen, it could well happen. So keep your eye on the West Bank, the Temple Mount, because it's prophetic ground zero. I'm just going to finish off by reading the first message I did on Joshua. And you remember the little song that has to go, Joshua fought the battle at Jericho. Well, I wrote, and there's so many similarities between Joshua and the Lord Jesus. There's so many similarities. And I said, well, what was the battle that Jesus fought? Okay. Because Jesus fought a battle. This is what I wrote. I took the same tune and I wrote some. So when I'm reading this, think about that little tune. And it's titled, Jesus Fought the Battle of Sin and Death. Okay? Jesus fought the battle of sin and death. Sin and death. Sin and death. Jesus fought the battle of sin and death, and my sentence of death was removed. You may talk about the men of Galilee, you may talk about the man called Paul, but there's none like my Savior Jesus and the battle of sin and death. Jesus fought the battle of sin and death, sin and death, sin and death. Jesus fought the battle of sin and death, and my sentence of death was removed. Right out of the tomb of Lazarus, they watched a dead man rise. Go remove the dead man's clothes from Jesus' friend, because who was dead is now alive. Jesus fought the battle of sin and death. Sin and death. Jesus fought the battle of sin and death. And my sentence of death was removed. My good works are never enough to save. I'm exposed with no defense. Trust in Jesus, replace death for life. Praise God, I'm saved at last. Jesus fought the battle of sin and death. Sin and death, sin and death. Jesus fought the battle of sin and death, and my sentence of death was removed. Let's pray. Father, who could have imagined that a little three references in the book of Joshua could lead us to the point where we acknowledge that you're the Savior. You could straighten all of this out if they would just trust in you. Donald Trump won't straighten it out. Vance won't straighten it out. Netanyahu will not straighten this out. This is such a deep... It's not a war between actually Palestinians and Jews. It's a war between yourself, O Lord, and the devil, Satan, the devil, and the great serpent himself. That's what's going on here. And it's a fight over the Temple Mount. And And Lord, we recognize that Satan has hijacked the agenda. He's sitting on the Temple Mount, and he is furious that even the possibility that the Jews could take that over, your people could take it over. Nothing will prevent us from being raptured away before all this comes terribly down on the whole world. We thank you for our Savior and what you have done for us and the home you've prepared for us in heaven. Bless us today and encourage us with these words. Let us not be fearful if we belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.